From the geopolitical pressure cooker, let's come back to domestic politics, where the pressure is equally intense but the weapons are promises and polling. Trump was in Dallas this week at what Republicans are calling a midterm convention, a relatively unusual gathering this far out from November, which tells you how seriously the party is taking the Senate math. Forecasters have shifted the Senate to a toss-up with 57 days remaining. That's a meaningful change from where the outlook was even 6 weeks ago.
What drove that shift?
A combination of things. Some of it is the structural environment. Second-term presidents typically face headwinds in their first midterm, and Trump's approval ratings, while solidified among his base, haven't expanded into the suburban and independent territory he'd need to run up the score. Some of it is candidate quality issues in specific states. And some of it is that the Democratic Party, despite all its internal chaos, has found a handful of strong recruits in competitive states. Trump's message in Dallas was essentially, "Pretend I'm on the ballot." He promised to personally campaign across 35 races. Whether he follows through matters less than the fact that his name recognition and fundraising ability are the party's most potent assets.
The $5,000 payment promise is the headline out of Dallas that I expect will get the most oxygen, and I want to unpack it carefully, because this is the third time a version of this idea has surfaced. It was floated in 2025, went nowhere. Now it's back as a conditional promise. You only get it if Republicans hold the House and Senate. That conditionality is doing a lot of work here. It converts a policy proposal into a get-out-the-vote mechanism. Vote for us, or you don't get the check.
A moment when the debt ceiling is already a recurring crisis and bond markets are watching long-duration U.S. debt with increasing nervousness. Promising $1.3 trillion in direct payments is the kind of proposal that either gets quietly shelved after November, as it did in 2025, or creates genuine market turbulence if it appears to be moving toward. The fiscal math is worth running through because this is where the business analysis gets uncomfortable. There are roughly 258 million adults in the United States. $5,000 per person is $1.29 trillion. That's not a stimulus check. That's a fiscal program roughly the size of the entire discretionary federal budget, actual legislation.
And yet politically, it works as a closing argument. People respond to concrete dollar amounts with their names attached. The analytical case against it is sound, but abstract. The $5,000 check is immediate and tangible. That asymmetry is why this kind of proposal persists in politics regardless of its fiscal credibility.
Rhode Island's Democratic primary result deserves more attention than it's getting nationally. Governor McKee didn't just lose, he lost by nearly 25 points to Helena Foulkes, a former CVS health executive who had never held public office. The proximate cause was a stalled bridge project that became a symbol of government dysfunction. But 25 points isn't a protest vote, it's a verdict. For Democrats trying to understand their vulnerabilities heading into November, an incumbent governor getting wiped out by an executive from the private sector on a competence message is a data point they can't ignore.
Foulkes' background is interesting in the context of the election cycle. CVS Health is one of the largest healthcare companies in the country, operating pharmacies, insurance through Aetna, and primary care clinics. She ran the company's retail health strategy, running against a sitting governor on an infrastructure failure argument from a corporate executive background, and winning by that margin. That suggests voters in a deep blue state were making a calculation about who could actually execute, not just who they agree with philosophically.
The Fetterman situation is a different kind of intra-party signal. Multiple Pennsylvania Democrats have declined to appear with him on the trail, which in a state that's a genuine swing state in the Senate map is operationally damaging. Fetterman's trajectory since his stroke, his positions on various issues, and his increasingly idiosyncratic public persona have made him an asset in some contexts and a liability in others. Pennsylvania Democrats apparently believe the liability calculation is winning right now.
And then there's the stock trading ban debate, which has one of the more spectacular ironies in recent political history. Republicans at the convention were loudly promoting a congressional stock trading ban as a reform platform item. Simultaneously, Trump himself has continued trading. The optics of that juxtaposition are not subtle. It speaks to a broader tension in the Republican coalition between the reform populist wing that wants to run against elite financial privilege and an administration that has not exactly constrained its own financial activities.